There, after having completed the Vishrutis sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parshuram took the bath known as the Advaitasana. Standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins, Lord Parshuram appeared like the sun in the clear, cloudless sky. When I first got this particular purport, I sat and actually was pondering this, the whole sacrifice that Parshuram actually had to go through to atone for sin, and actually how willing would we be to be able to do the same as Parshuram did here, especially giving away so much. If somebody said, you know, sort of, okay, you know, you can atone for the sin, but you have to give away your house, your car, and renounce it all, how many people would find that quite difficult, you know, especially in today's society. We see this as ours, don't we? This is my house, this is my car, this is my land, this is my property. On the deeds to my house, it has my name. Officially, I'm a householder, you know, so freehold of the land, so officially the land is mine. And we see it that way, don't we, in society. It's my house. Or is it? Are the deeds telling us a lie? So I started thinking about this. And time again in this purport, Prabhupada keeps on mentioning about Sankirtan Yajna. What does Sankirtan mean? What does the meaning of being a member of the ISKCON, of the Hare Krishna movement? What does that actually mean? What's the sacrifice that we have to perform today? Some of you are new faces, and I'm sort of looking around. I'm always inspired to see new faces just setting out, just learning a little bit about the Sankirtan movement and this wonderful life that we have here. And then I look at the faces that were here when I first arrived at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is far out, you know. So they're just so steady. It's really inspiring. And then I've seen the faces that have come along over the years, and they're still around, and I'm looking, thinking to myself, wow, this is really powerful. What's so powerful about it? What's so special about ISKCON? It's attracted so many beautiful people. Sorry, Matiji? The Maha Mantra. Yeah. It's a jewel, isn't it? It's a real jewel. So what I thought I'd do is, I was actually looking, I mean, Prabhupada set up ISKCON. He defined seven purposes of ISKCON itself. Are you all aware that there were seven purposes when Prabhupada set up ISKCON? Yeah, seven purposes. So what I thought I would do today is actually refer to the seven purposes. And then what does that mean, practicality, for us as aspiring devotees, first initiated devotees, second initiated devotees, whether we're living in the temple, whether we're living outside the temple. We seem to have this impression that temple devotees, and we have a list of what temple devotees are meant to do, and it's an exorbitant list. Temple devotees. All you new Baptists that come in, you come under temple devotees. And so they look at the list and they say, well, you're not following this list. Whereas the Grihastha woman living outside the temple, I have a list of exemptions. Yeah, well, you know, got to be practical about these things. We forget that actually if we write an exemption notes for ourselves, the exemption notes also go for others. We should be careful with our exemptions. So I thought I'd just look at the seven principles. And I made a few notes. I thought my memory's not as good as it used to be. So the first one is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. And you educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. We don't have to go far to hear about things going wrong. There's always a war, there's always a famine, there's always disunity, isn't there? And I was thinking about this, propagating spiritual knowledge to society at large. And I was thinking about education, and we put a great emphasis on academia. So we, by the age of 3 or 4 now, people are going into school. So for a few hours a day, getting them ready for when they're 5 and they actually go properly into primary school. When they finish education, what's left? Well, we have to go to a job. So we get a job and we accumulate wealth, right? I need to get a house. I need to get a car. I need to get property. And then they discover sex life, right? You know, well, I want to fulfill and get as many pleasures as I can through sex life. Because again, society has said that that's what we do, is we go through material. We reach out with our senses and we enjoy our senses. So if we have to stand over a few people to make it, that's okay. Yeah, this is education. And then we have alcohol, because none of them satisfy, so we get alcohol, so we drink plenty of alcohol to numb the senses. But the alcohol doesn't satisfy anyway. So we have to have more alcohol, more pursuit. And what do we get at the end of life? Regrets. I should have done. I could have done. Maybe. We've got a jewel here in understanding Brahminical culture. Understanding what is real and what is unreal. We don't need alcohol to dull the senses, because we want the senses. Why do we want the senses? We want the senses to enjoy Krishna. So we chant Hare Krishna, we sing and we dance for the Lord, we perform yoga. This is sacrifice. 4:30 in the morning, Mangalati. Most people, 4:30 in the morning doesn't exist. Yeah. So this is sacrifice. But how many people, by the time we finish Mangalati, we finish Gururati, how many people are enlivened? This is true knowledge, this is true education. And we see here in the Krishna consciousness movement that we have people from many, many parts of the world. Different languages, different colours, different creeds. All coming together for one purpose. And what's that purpose? The chanting of Hare Krishna. Working together. Why? For the service of the Lord. This is true peace and harmony. Isn't it? There's no need for war when you're serving Krishna. This is real knowledge. So we're in checking the imbalances and values of society. So by our example, we're teaching them what is not. Why are you so blissful? Why are you so happy? Why is it that when I see you in the streets dancing and chanting, why is it that you're smiling so? Because I'm doing everything that you're not doing. Yeah. We see that people, they accumulate wealth and then they think, I'm going to be happy. If I win this double lottery rollover, I'm going to be even more happy. I'll have more money. And then they get all the money that they want, but they're still not happy and they can't figure out why. If you go in and you have people who have drug, alcohol dependency, real suffering. Why did they start? Because it gave me a bit of pressure to start off with. That started giving them pressure gives them so much pain. There's two big clinics in the NHS. One of them is the one that deals with venereal disease. biggest, one of the biggest expenditures to the NHS. A bit scary, really, isn't it? Devotees don't have to worry about anything like that. So what do we do? Do we hang on to that knowledge? Or do we give it out? Do we show by example, you want true happiness? You have to sacrifice something. You have to sacrifice the values that society says that we should have and attain spiritual values. You're a strange lot. Why are you not doing what society says you should do? Because we want peace and happiness. Come to the temple. I want to see peace and happiness. I want to see how people can get on very well. This is where we need to be. The second one is to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's interesting that in this purport it actually refers to Bhagavad Gita 3.9. And it actually says, therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be the cause of bondage for both good and evil work for their reactions. And any reaction blinds the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu. And while performing such activities, one is in a liberated stage. This is a great art of doing work. And in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna, or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, as he gives the example of Arjuna. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. So we're getting information from the devotees. Each devotee should be an example to the other devotee, but also an example to people outside. We should be giving information as I pertained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Remember one time I got transferred to one of the smaller wards in the hospital, and I walked on. And one of the patients, she looked at me very, very, and she goes, why have you got your hair like that? Yeah. Now, sometimes I'll just turn around and say, it's because I have no hair, and it's just to remind me what hair feels like. Because sometimes you get the impression of where somebody's at. But I could tell that this lady was actually asking very, very genuinely. So I said, okay, I said, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. I said, however, my Guru Maharaj is instructing me that I have to carry on nursing. So I'm nursing and I'm also a monk. Wow. By the time I'd got to the other end of the ward, the news had spread that there was a monk who was a nurse working on the ward. One of the amazing questions was, why are you a Hare Krishna monk? What made you become a monk? It's very intriguing. Why? Because of the devotees. Because the devotees stopped me. And what were they doing? They were importing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Very sincerely. And they encouraged me, please read Bhagavad Gita. So they said, because I heard the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and it rang true. Where can I get to hear about this? I left the ward 5 Bhagavad Gitas less. I had to run to the car and grab some Bhagavad Gitas.
Okay. There's always a workaround. The rules say that you can't propagate Krishna consciousness on the wards. However, you are allowed to answer questions from the patients. The patients ask about Krishna. There's your opening. Yeah. Always look at the little get-throughs. Yeah. A week later, they moved me onto the same ward and I was getting transferred out. And one of the ladies said, I've been reading that Gita that you gave me. It's an amazing book. What am I meant to do now? So I gave her some japa beads and said, do japa. It's great preaching. Do japa. This is the mercy of the devotees. Isn't it? Yeah? So what we're doing is we're hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam from authority. Arjuna heard authority from Krishna. It's written down for us. Prabhupada was very careful in making sure that the information that he gave was first class, even to the point where, as I pointed out, he even put in the small detail to delay doubt. So as our doubt is, then we impart that, don't we? Yeah. So we have our doubts shattered. We grow in faith in this Krishna consciousness. We impart to others. This is devotee mercy, isn't it? The third part, to bring the members of the society together with each other and near to Krishna. The prime entity, and thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large, that every soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. And again, we see this redefined, don't we, of bringing society together. What is society? One of our great politicians said there is no such thing as society. We are individuals, and thus we should look after the individual self. Yeah. I found one nice letter. Now, generally speaking, I generally stay away from letters in as much as you don't really know what the letter question was. You see the reply that Prabhupada gave, but generally speaking, you don't actually see the letter. But one or two letters I sort of do quite like. And I thought, I like this one, so I thought I'd include this one. Because it says to bring members of society together, and we sometimes find that even in the Krishna consciousness society, sometimes we cause unnecessary division. You may notice that sometimes, periodically. Regarding, it says a letter to Jaya Govinda, Los Angeles, in 1968, February. Regarding lecturing by women devotees, I have informed you that in the service of the Lord, there is no distinction of caste or creed, color or sex. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord especially mentions that even a woman who has taken seriously is also destined to reach him. Part and parcel of Krishna. We stick to the mythology given of the Sankirtan Yajna. And the benefit is there for everyone. We require a person who is in the knowledge of Krishna. That is the only qualification of a person. Speaking, it doesn't matter what he is. Material woman may be less intelligent than a man, but spiritual there is no such distinction. Because spiritually everyone is pure soul. In the absolute plane there is no such gradient of higher or lower. If a woman can lecture nicely, and to the point. We should hear her carefully. This is our philosophy. But, Prabhupada always puts the buts in, doesn't he? If a man can speak better than a woman, this is qualification. You have to be qualified first. Yeah? But if you are more qualified. So firstly, is the woman more qualified than you? Jai Shri Shri Radha Kakulananda, Jai Sitaram Prachmanaya. The man should be given first preference. But even though a woman is less intelligent and sincere, so should be given proper chance to speak. Because we want so many preachers, both men and women. And the reason why I like that one a lot is because when I first came to Krishna consciousness, and I think I've mentioned this before in one of my classes, there was none of the brahmacharis around. There was just Matajis. The first year and a half, I was under the care of the Matajis. Any faults I have, I'm going to blame the Matajis, or it could have been me not listening properly. It's probably the latter. Yeah. But it's about qualification. If we're hearing properly, then we can speak properly. If we're performing properly, then by example, others will follow. The Matiji said, yes, we might not teach you Sanskrit properly, we might not do these things. What we want to give you is enough tools that in 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time, you are still doing the chanting of the holy names. Setting up for life. Who thinks that they did a good job? I'm still here, still chanting. Inspiring, isn't it? Yeah. We're all here because of what? A devotee. A book distributor. The first devotee that we spoke to. And what are they doing? They're just speaking what they've heard. They're following the regulations that Prabhupada's given. And they're chanting very, very nicely. Example, we follow. And it's interesting that Prabhupada said here, doesn't it? But, you know, if... So Prabhupada's sort of saying, firstly, you have to be qualified to speak. I know the first time I actually asked my Guru Maharaj if I could give class, and he went, no. And then eventually he said, okay. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that I was qualified first to speak. When I first asked him, I was nowhere near qualified. Yeah. So we check with authority. I was listening in to Kripamaya's mentorship group meeting, and one of the devotees said, but Prabhu, you know, I'm doing this small program with my wife, but I don't think I should be doing it because I'm not qualified. So what was the reaction of Kripamaya? Okay, you want authority, you want qualification. I say you're qualified. Go chant. Yeah? You want to do program? You do program. You want to chant Hare Krishna? You do that. Why? How else is people going to hear about Krishna if we don't say? This is the whole point of ISKCON. We learn and we give. We become the example. And then people will follow our example. They become the example. Fourth point, to teach and encourage the Sangatam movement of congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I just love some of the pastimes when I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some of the pastimes are amazing. the mercy just poured out. It didn't matter who it was. And they were so inspired that they would get other people to come along. If we're learning, if we're doing Bhakti Sastri, if we're doing Gita Life, are we doing it so we can have our little plaque on the wall next to our PhD, our degree, our qualifications, and it looks very pretty on the wall? And then we go, okay, I've done it. And we sit back. And we only bring it out if we want to win an argument. One of my god sisters, she hates it if I call her Mataji. Why? Because whenever anybody wanted to get one over on him, he said, look, Mataji. Yeah, it's always been condescendingly used. Rather than a loving term. We have to be careful how we're using these things. Are we using it to encourage? And we have our certificate there on the wall just so we can bring it out to win an argument. Or do we actually have our certificate there because we want to do something with it? If we have Bhakti Sastri, if we have Gita Life and what have you, we should be wanting then to share. If where we're at there is no temple, do we sit and we moan? There's no temple here. Nobody's doing anything. The devotees there in Bhaktivedanta Manor, they're not doing anything. They should be out. It's their responsibility. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement. It's not a temple-only requirement. If there is no temple where you are, make one. Yeah? You've been given the tools. Prabhupada went to America, and what did he have? A few books, a few rupees. That's it. Just the desire to fulfill the request of his Guru Maharaj. What does Prabhupada say? Love me. Distribute my books. How much do we love Prabhupada? Enough to distribute books? Love me. Save the fallen souls. How much do we love the fallen souls, even the ones that might irritate us? Love me, teach cow protection. Yeah. Cow protection is not a temple duty. Cow protection is a grihastha duty. The grihasthas are meant to care for the cow. As a homeowner, you are meant to keep a cow. The state says that I can't keep a cow on my property because it's too small. If it was a modern farm, I could have three on the same plot of land. Tried to work that one out. It's a grihastha duty. So if as a grihastha you can't keep it in your land or your property, then you help and support cow protection. So that when you're presenting Krishna consciousness and the people say, what are you doing? You're saying all of this, but you're doing nothing. Then you say, this is what I'm doing. Oh, I see. Example. Yeah. Then the people will come nicely to Krishna consciousness, and then you will have a situation where you are not temple-less, but you are temple president. Prempo president means servant of everybody else. Yeah. Poor Shruti Dham, any problems, they go to Shruti Dham. Yeah. He has to listen and then he has to work out which ones he has to solve. Servant. Yeah. Prabhupada had to deal with that as well. You know, people writing are going to improve, you know. Prabhupada, this is the problems that we're facing. Okay. And it's interesting the different advices that he gave. One devotee went and he was complaining, this devotee's not doing the chanting. Prabhupada said, that's okay, he's doing lots of service. And another time, another devotee went up and said, this Prabhu is not doing his chanting. Oh, this is not good. So what advice did he give? Get rid of him? Take him off his post? Take him off his duty? No. Okay. You become the example and he will follow. So you, by your example... I get so encouraged when I come here because there's so many beautiful devotees just dedicating life so lovely to Krishna and to the propagation of this Sankirtan movement. Bhaktivedanta Manor wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the devotees faithfully serving. Every single temple or preaching center that we go to is there because of one thing. The sincerity of the devotees who are what? Out of love serving Guru. Out of love, serving Srila Prabhupada. Pure love. So if we're in a situation where there's no temple, our love for the fallen souls, our love for Srila Prabhupada, our love for Guru, should mean that we want to then create a beautiful temple, a beautiful society. People can say, look, we had nothing until them Hare Krishnas came, and then look. This is a great boon for our area. Food for life, prasad and distribution. This is congregational duty, Grihastha duty. Distribution of money and wealth we can't do nowadays. Distribution of prasadam we can. Everybody should be doing prasadam distribution. Especially Grihastas. Grihastas, cow protection, prasadam distribution. It's not a temple duty. Grihastha duty. The temple gives us example. This is how you do cow protection. This is how you do prasadam distribution. Why? Because they want us to do it. It's very simple. How are we doing for time? We've nearly... because it's till 5:30, isn't it? 5 is to erect for members of the society a large and holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Again, as I've said, if you don't have one, this is your commission. This is part of being a member of ISKCON. If there's no temple where you are, you make one. You make devotees, you fill it. Yeah? Why, the American devotees, the first devotees, they came to the UK, and what did we have in the UK? Pubs, clubs, nightclubs, XXX clubs, boozeries, educational centres that gave no education, apart from how to fulfil more senses. Devotees came, there was nothing, there wasn't even a place where they could go and get proper vegetarian stuff to make vegetarian prasadam. How austere is that? Now we have Soho Street, we have Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have Leicester Centre, we have Birmingham Centre, we have a centre in Glasgow, we have 2 centres in Wales. We have a centre in Brighton. Why? Sincerity of the American Prabhupada disciples coming over. And what did they do? They just replicated what Prabhupada had done. Propagate Krishna consciousness. Give them somewhere to go. It's no good giving them a book and giving them a mantra if there's nowhere for them to go. So if there's nowhere for them to go, we create somewhere for them to go. Grihasthas have a great opportunity then to use their Lakshmi from work to establish these centres, because these centres do need Lakshmi in order to work. There's always a cost. Grihastha duty. Six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. And again, Prabhupada again says, you know, in the fourth canto, in this age, distribution prasad has replaced distribution money. You see that Parshuram gave away his land and what have you. It's very difficult for us to do that now, but we can give prasadam. How many people here have distributed prasadam? Very few people will refuse. Yeah. I do that in work. I'll prepare prasadam and I'll take it in. Find out what the person likes and make them some lovely prasadam and take it in. Do you know I was thinking of you? I brought you some prasadam. And you don't even have to say prasadam, I brought you some food. They're so amazed because you've taken the time for them. And they honour prasadam without realising that they're honouring prasadam. And you will notice that their mentality changes. And they start to take very nicely and they start asking questions about Krishna. Then preaching becomes good. Prasadam. And seven, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purpose, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So one thing that really keeps me going is when I go and get the newsletter from Bhaktivedanta Manor and I find out what you guys have been up to. Yeah? It's quite inspiring. Or sometimes when I'm in the middle of work and it's getting really, really heavy and then Kripa Maya's diary beeps in via email and I've got the bliss of a few minutes just reading what a devotee's been up to. It doesn't have to be great academical reviews, it just has been sincere. You know, I was doing a bit of book distribution and just had this little today. I'd like to share it. It means so much. Yeah? If we are academically inclined and we can actually bring, Prabhupada wanted us to do that. But each time the onus falls not on the temple devotees, not on the temple management, not on the GBC, not on, what does it fall on? It falls on us as an individual. If we consider ourselves to be a member of ISKCON, if we consider ourselves to be a member of this Sankirtan movement, it means that we have to perform some form of sacrifice. We follow the four regulative principles, we chant 60 rounds, we read Prabhupada's books, and why are we reading the books? Because we want to give out the mercy of Krishna from what we've read. And generally speaking, if people come for us to advice, we can give advice from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Why is it that you always give me great advice? You don't necessarily have to say this. Bhagavad Gita says, Srimad Bhagavatam, we can give the advice, and eventually they want to know why your advice is the only advice that they can take that will work. And then you have the opportunity to tell them directly, it is because I have read. So sometimes even in our practical dealings with people, we're very, very practical in just presenting that. So I shall leave it there. Is there any questions, corrections, thoughts?